Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
All right. Welcome to another episode of Mystery on the Rocks. Lockdown Fun Town. I don't know what that means. I have no idea what that means. I've said it now, so you can't cut that. With me, as always, is Chris.
Hello.
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 And Suze.
Yes, hello.
Hey, you guys doing good in Lockdown Fun Town?
Yeah, it's not what I expected.
Yeah. I've done so much today using modern technology. I did a Zoom with my friend and then another Zoom with two other friends. And then I had to do a Zoom doing a play reading.
Oh,
my friend had written a play. Yeah, it was fine.
You know, in those Zoom things when people find out they can do virtual backgrounds and that.
Yeah.
And that
oh.
takes.
Yeah.
And then they're not talking. They're just like, see what I do now.
Yeah.
Am I at a beach? Like, I'm at a beach.
You just described the first two Zoom calls I had to
do. You mean you can change the... What? Oh my God. Yeah, it's like the same as like when someone gets a webcam and one of the first things they do is like... And you're like, dude, what are you... Come on. Stop that.
Yeah, even though this is audio, the listeners will know exactly what you just did.
Yeah. Bringing the camera close and...
Mystery on the rocks, oh yeah. Mystery on the rocks, yeah. Mystery on the rocks, yeah.
Oh my God! Who just walked in through the door? Is that
door?
Donnelly.
It looks like Carl Donnelly. Hello.
Hello. Hello, everyone.
Like hey.
How the hell are we?
We're great.
We're good.
Thanks for swinging by.
Good.
Have you? Is this your first time out today?
It's not. It's my first time out in. I've not been using the government's advised one excursion a day. I've been going out of the house maximum once every 5 days.
What? Oh my God!
Yeah, I'm really.
What are you doing?
Well, I've got a garden, so my garden is my. You know, I go out there and do a bit of exercise and sit there for most of the day. But I've really not found lockdown difficult at all. And I don't mean that in a cocky way of like people who have or judging them. I feel like I've spent my last 5 years planning for this, even though I didn't know it was coming.
Yeah.
It could be a lot worse.
I think I find the global situation terrifying, but lockdown itself is very manageable.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
I almost seem kind of a bit worried at the idea that I'd have to go back out and work outside of here.
It's the worst. I had to go to the hospital the other day, not for anything bad. My wife is currently expecting our first child.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And we had to go for an actual appointment at a hospital and... You know, we were sitting on a bus going, oh, this is so weird. we were out of the house and we got to the hospital and there was other people and it was just, it just felt so, it's amazing how quickly you get used to not seeing anyone else in the world apart from digitally.
Yeah.
That is odd.
I'm not in the city, so whenever I walk the dogs in the morning, it's on a bus route and all the buses are going past and they're all empty. The buses are running, but there's no one on them.
Wow.
Did you know? I only, because we got the bus. So London buses are all free at the minute, right?
No, I didn't know.
Really?
No, they've not said it because they reckon it will encourage too many people on them. But because they basically, most buses only have the bit to tap on next to the driver, and that bit's totally blocked off. So there's physically nowhere to tap your Oyster card.
Luckily for TFL, no one listens to this podcast, so it will remain a secret.
Use that one to sell this. Make this shit go viral.
Hey, you say that. We just got our stats back, and it's way up for March.
Hell,
of lockdown.
Lockdown has a has an effect.
Ooh, stop! Yes.
We had a March boom.
It was really funny because it seemed like we had 48 listens in, where was it? Virginia?
Oh,
no, Massachusetts.
Massachusetts.
Yeah. The same warehouse in Massachusetts. We had 48 listens, and everyone was like, oh, wow, why have we got 48 listens? And then I realised we've done 48 episodes. So it's just one person who's just listened to them all. Thank you, whoever you are. We really appreciate it.
I wonder if I know them. Really it might lovely. Be like, my cousin lives in Massachusetts.
Where was it in Massachusetts? It was something
bit
like
weird. Him listening to his other cousin, to his own cousin. Bit weird.
Oh, Watertown. Watertown, Massachusetts.
No, I don't think he lives there.
No.
Weirder. Why does he go to another town to listen?
It feels like yeah. You can't listen to it there. It's a dry state, so you have to even booze related podcast. You have to go to another state.
Sure.
What are you drinking, Carl?
Shit on everyone's crisps, whatever. I don't know what saying
that's
is
better
for this.
Than piss on your chips. Shit on your crisps.
To be honest, yeah. I don't think there's an apology good enough
for shitting on someone's chips.
For shitting on someone's crisps.
Shit on my crisps. Yeah, I'm really sorry, mate. Do you know what?
Yeah, I suppose it's one of them things. It would have to be a very close friend to get away with that. But I am drinking water because I'm currently not boozing. I had one gin and tonic on Saturday afternoon. I had a couple of weeks before that. I've had one night where I've got drunk the whole thing, and I've actually only had two other days where I've had any alcohol. I've been trying to be clean living, even though I'm eating like. An animal, like I'm eating non-stop. And I've got like a prison weight set up in the garden, so I'm literally going to come out. I'm going to come out of this so fat and muscly.
That's the plan. That's like a weird compliment.
Yeah, I know, it's gross. I'm going to have. I'm basically building a dad body in 3 months.
Some parts of you are.
You say you've got a prison exercise set up in your garden?
No, what I mean, it's basically like it's just like sort of a quite rudimentary weights bench. I've got a squat bench. I've got like proper weight stuff there, so it's I can't do. I've got no access to any cardio equipment or anything. I could go for a run, but that means going outside.
That's true.
So I'm just lifting weights and eating biscuits. Essentially, it's great.
Yeah,
you're basically acting as if you're in prison. Then
yes.
It's funny that you said it was a prison exercise setup. There's psychologically something there.
Yeah, you could have said anything else, but you had to. Also, I like the idea that in prison, you're also just eating biscuits.
I mean, I also think I've got quite a romantic view that prison is very exercise heavy. And not as punitive as it's made out.
Why exercise in jail? It's the one thing everyone says, like, if I went to prison, I'd become so buff. Yeah. It's like, no, I think there's a lot of other things.
Read books as well. No, I always think that. I think, just read loads. Yeah. Shut up.
Read loads. Yeah. Get real
buff.
You know,
get through a book a day.
You're pretty. You will get done every night, son.
You'll get a terrible bout of depression when you first arrive that will come back to haunt you every couple of months with no warning, probably. Yeah, but the guns.
The guns I'll get because the exercise will stay long.
Exactly. Also, depression. All your family and friends sort of not staying in touch because of the crimes and, you know, the stigma attached to it in terms of future.
Shouldn't have murdered those kids.
And then when you
I know, you know.
And then when you do come out, it's just every now and again you'll have a flashback of like, I can't fit into society.
But think about the definition, guy.
Think about those pecs. Pecs will be worth it.
So you're drinking water, but you're eating like a cocktail of biscuits and biscuits and treats.
So you are having cocktails, essentially.
Yes, food cocktails. I don't think that's actually referred to.
It's my ideal cocktail taste of biscuits.
I can't, but like my wife puts orange juice on cereal.
What?
Excuse me.
And I just cannot understand it. Apparently, it's quite common in Australia.
It's not a. Pregnancy.
I think she's made that up.
She has. It's like people that have water, you know, like just make their porridge with water. Or
you're
like,
guilty.
No, those.
Yep.
It's the
only way I'll do it.
We're back to prison again, are we? Let's see what's happened.
That is the only way. Like, have you porridge with milk is too much.
I use oat milk.
Like, porridge with milk is delicious.
Oat milk's very watery. Oat milk is almost double porridge. I suppose I'd probably just as weird.
It's like having ketchup on a tomato.
Which I have been having many of during
mashed potato in your baked potato.
But then, you know, people put people put hummus on falafel, so that's the same thing.
That is
bread sauce in a sandwich.
Wait, what cereal does she drink it with? I think that's the all important question. Does she have the drink it? See, she's drinking orange juice. What does she
will have a side of orange juice. So it's almost like having a little gravy jug next to your roast.
The guy in Watertown is horrified.
Oh, yeah, he's
49 listens, and that was that.
Yeah.
Might be common in America.
I don't even think the stat will... I don't think that stat will show up. He'll listen halfway through and just go, no.
Yeah.
And, like, throw his phone out the
same kind of drink again, Masu.
Oh my god, you two are in love. That's what that means.
can I ask what Chris's glass or receptacle is?
Yeah, is that one of your dram glasses?
Chris and his glass.
It's basically a whiskey glass, but as you can see, it ends at a point.
Yeah.
But you can put it on its side like that.
What?
Or like that.
Mm.
Or like
my
that. So
god.
It does sit without falling over. But
it looks like a chaos emerald.
Do you think?
It does look like a chaos emerald.
Yeah. I tell you what, I would fucking spill that in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
There's no way. Yeah. I'd be like, no, fucking look, it stands up. And then I'd just be splash zone. Splash fucking mountain.
If you don't put it down on the point, it's fine. Basically, I've only got one rocks glass and it's too small. So I just use this because it called for a larger drink than my rocks glass will hold. It's I'm drinking a man of war.
Ooh, a jellyfish. Ooh.
Please.
A deadly jelly.
What is what is in a man of war? Tell us.
Bourbon or rye. I'm using rye. And then it's orange liqueur, sweet vermouth, lemon juice, and lemon peel for garnish.
Oh, that sounds lovely. Oh. Is it good?
What is a rye? Really nice. Can somebody please tell me what a rye is? What's the difference between that and a bourbon? Thank you. Sorry. I don't know.
I asked that. Asking all the right questions.
Okay, Dad.
Care to explain?
Well, they're just different types of whiskey.
Right.
I think it's the grain, isn't it? It's the type of.
I reckon it's a grain thing, but I didn't want to sound like I knew.
Just take a stab in the dark then.
So the difference between bourbon and rye is that bourbon is made from crushed up bourbon biscuits.
Rye is made from rye bread, yes. I believe.
Yes.
The worst of all the breads.
Yeah, it's a shit
it's actually
one,
isn't
it?
Do you know what? It depends. If it's full rye, then it obviously is the one that's really dense.
And it really feels
like you've just got a slice of a house brick. But if you the
pure
actual
stuff?
If I've
like a brick that hasn't settled yet, you're like.
But if
oh
I've
dear.
I've got a bread maker, and sometimes I make rye bread where it's like half rye, half just a white or brown flour, and actually then a few caraway seeds,
great.
And it's an absolute joy.
For when you're lifting,
yeah,
it's
I've,
like
I've
a good.
That. Were you I made a sandwich out of that rye, and I was like,
it's terrible,
here?
Isn't it? No one saw that coming. Lockdown comes. You think people would sort of either go into meltdown or they would sort of expand their minds. No one saw that 90% of the population would get a sourdough starter.
I am intrigued by sourdough starters, and I love sourdough to the point where I looked up how you do it. I thought, well, it can't be that fucking hard. If all these fucking useless cunts on Facebook are doing it. I looked at it, but it's like raising a son. It's too much.
Not a daughter, a son, specifically a son. Absolutely not.
P.S. Why have none of you pricks commented on the fact that I've hilariously made my background a supermarket?
It's you're doing your weekly shop.
I want the readers to know that my background on Skype is currently a supermarket, and it's very funny.
You know when we do our next Skype video one.
Yeah,
let's do it soon.
We could
make our backgrounds the crime scenes that we're talking about.
Oh, I love it.
Ooh,
and wander around them and be like
people with their heads shot off and stuff.
Yeah, yeah. I was wondering how respectful that. Well, I don't care.
Ship has sailed.
You really thought about that moral conundrum for a long time.
Yeah. It was maybe I gave it a split second.
You really, really sort of tore yourself inside out there.
I think my moral compass is spinning. That's how I would describe that. Yeah.
What does Sue's have in her glass? What's Sue's drinking?
What have I got? Blood Orange Cointreau, Oldie Brandy, the best one. Little splash of Coke. Mm-hmm. It's what I had the other night, except there's no vodka in it because I was weird. I was being weird.
Do you remember what you called it?
I called it a Long Island Ice Me.
That's right. Yeah.
But this is different. There's no vodka in it. So this is just Corona Palooza.
Corona Palooza?
Yeah, why not? Is that all the drinks, Masood?
I've got it's one from a previous episode. I have a Fitzgerald, which is gin and lemon juice and simple syrup and bitters. Yum, yum, yum. Shake up. Delish. So, Chris, what do you have for us today?
Oh yeah. Yeah, I genuinely, honestly, first time, I'd totally forgotten. Got to do this. this one is the murder of Fred Oesterreich.
Oesterreich?
Yeah, okay. Do you know about that, Masood?
I know a little.
Do you know
about
it, Suze?
No, I might do. Do you know what? It's vaguely familiar, and I wonder if you'll start describing it and be like, oh, it's that guy.
He was a rich businessman, shot dead in 1922. He was from Milwaukee, and he owned an apron factory, and apparently there's bunts in that. So
big time, man. Everyone needs aprons.
He owned this apron factory, and it had paid off for him, and he had this massive house. And he'd moved from Milwaukee to Los Angeles, so he was living in LA, and this was the house he was shot in. And on August the 22nd, 1922, neighbors of the Oesterreichs, they heard gunshots and a woman's frantic screams. They went to investigate, and they found Fred Oesterreich lying dead on the bedroom floor, and his wife was locked in the wardrobe, and so they let her out.
Oh, alive!
No, she was locked in. They let her out, and she said that they'd been robbed. And they'd shot her husband and locked her in the closet. Oh. And it was locked from the outside and there was no key.
Well.
Delicious.
That's what happened. Carl shook his head straight away.
you skeptical.
Just my natural skepticism tells me it's a likely story.
using a system of pulleys and strings, she put in the cupboard
I'm not saying she. I suppose it was the 20s. You know, there was a more chivalry in robberies back then, wasn't there? Might have been
What are you telling me? A thief opens the door, then he mugs you. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Well, yeah, I'm saying it's not out of the realms of possibility that the robber locked her in there and then, you know, did that. But I suspect an accomplice.
And then let her out.
Oh, I see. Yeah. So like not so that she's like, I don't want her to see.
Yeah, it's just like saving her dainty eyes and then sort of in the olden days sort of view of women.
Yeah, it's the criminal way of the putting the coat on the puddle.
Yes,
to let somebody walk over.
Yeah. She could have been shut in the closet beforehand and then be like, get in the closet or I'm going to shoot your husband, and then they shot him anyway.
Oh, yeah, I thought you were implying that she was put in there by the husband. She's like, get that coat. We're going to play that game we like. And then he got robbed and he's like, honey?
Or maybe he was expecting bad company. Maybe he had some outstanding debts and he knew this could be it. Yeah. So he told her to go into the cupboard for safety reasons.
Yeah, true.
That's a solid one. Okay, okay. Well, Chris, are we warm?
Full disclosure, this one has been solved. We don't normally do solved ones.
My favourite.
But the story is so cool and
none
interesting.
None of this mystery bullshit.
It's not, it's not like one that... basically, it's one that we can't not cover at some point. This is as good a time as any. So, the wife was called Valberger, shortened to Dolly.
You could call me Val, Dolly.
Dolly.
She emigrated. She was born in Germany. She emigrated over to America. She worked on a farm for a bit, kind of in not poverty, but she wasn't comfortable. And then she met Fred Oesterreich, who was a wealthy businessman. Married him. They lived in Milwaukee for a bit, and then they moved to LA, which she was delighted about moving to LA. And then this happened. Robber came in, shot him, put her in the closet. The police were suspicious because nothing was stolen.
Oh my God! Yes.
They were very suspicious of her, but she couldn't have locked herself in the closet.
Right.
so there was no case because there's right. physically no way she could lock herself in this closet.
Is this a little bit a locked room mystery that we're going to have solved?
Well, we were. It has already been solved. But,
yeah, but
you're going to take
know,
the credit for
it,
is what we all
know. I don't know what the solution yeah. is. So
it's
I'm
not a.
Out.
Actually, yeah, do you know what? It's kind of. I don't think the house was like hermetically sealed or anything. The mystery comes from if they didn't steal anything and it was a burglar.
Yeah.
You might suggest that maybe they got spooked by the fact that they shot the bloke and they were like, oh shit, run. But they'd still take something, wouldn't yeah. they?
Sure.
All that was missing was his watch, I think, and then everything else in the house. Big house, loads of stuff, none of that was taken. And so the mystery came from, she must have done it, but how?
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
what the mystery was. So it was like, she did it, but how the hell did she lock herself in the closet?
Were people determined that she'd done it?
First of all, the police were suspicious, like, immediately because nothing was stolen and she was the only one at the crime scene.
Yeah.
But she was also bundled into this closet that there was no way she could have got into.
And also she went by a name that was such a clear alias from her original. She was obviously covering Charlie. Something up.
It's yeah. me, Dolly.
Yeah. That is a... yeah. Well, okay, so hang on. Does he have a nice, juicy insurance policy hanging over
nope.
him? No. Okay. So, because I would have thought then my job would have been
obviously,
insurance policy, hire a hitman, blah, 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 lock me in the closet so it looks like I'm...
she would
did
have
they, where was the murder weapon? Did they find the gun?
No, they did
find
not
the gun,
find
yeah.
the gun. They didn't find... Well, not immediately. They found the gun. It wasn't immediately. Okay. And the way they found the gun was crazy.
Oh.
But yeah, they found the gun.
Where do we go from?
Because this is the other thing, you see, when they found her locked in the closet from the outside yeah. that she couldn't have done to herself, there was no, like, she didn't have the gun with her or anything like that.
Yeah.
So
she hadn't shot him through a keyhole or nothing.
Nope. No.
Just lining it up. Come on.
Thread the needle, Dolly.
And there was no windows in the room she was locked in, the cupboard door. It wasn't like a...
No, oh, it was like a walk-in
a dressing
closet.
Room
was, it was, it, was yeah. it was a wardrobe.
It was a wardrobe.
Oh, for real. Mm. Like Beauty and the Beast. Okay. Sorry, I don't know why I brought that up. I've been thinking about it a lot. I'm sorry. Can I just say, my mum is having a conversation upstairs on the phone so loudly, and she has a go at me for how loudly I talk when I record this podcast. Think of the yeah. neighbours. She is fucking waking the dead. And all she's doing is talking about horses.
We did a listener's questions episode that we put out on Twitter. We were like, ask us any questions if you got any. And she tweeted and said, can you keep it down?
Yeah. She'll hear this.
And the answer is
this
no.
is her favourite
no, we
podcast.
Can't.
Well, do you know what, Mum? Learn a lesson from it. Shut the fuck up.
So there's no murder. So as far as on the scene, there's nothing to tie her to this murder.
No, there was no case against her. So the police kind of dropped it and it went cold and they couldn't bring yeah. anyone to justice. Mm-hmm. She then became involved with a lawyer named Herman Shapiro, which isn't an alias. They all sound like aliases.
It's
not
an amazing
alias. Herman
name.
Shapiro
names
is this
from
guy's
the 1920s
real name.
All sound yeah. like fake names. Yeah.
This guy's real name. Yeah. And this is where it kind of like started to get, well, it got interesting way before, but we didn't know that at this point. Then she after she was seeing Herman Shapiro for a little while, she also took another lover at the same time called Roy Klum. And
God,
okay,
Dolly.
Out of the two guys, who do you think is the better lover? Because Roy Klum is
okay.
Roy Klum
is
the bit
like
on
it.
The side, Masood. So
they both have skills.
So you telling me Shapiro's like he's in the decline? She's like, gotta get me some more action. What's your name?
Roy Klum.
Alrighty.
Roy Klum's like, smash your back doors in. He's always dragging her down alleys, and she's like, no, but yes.
Roy,
and
no,
whereas
Roy
Herman yeah. is like. Oh, answers the door, rose betwixt teeth.
He's the one who spoils
her. He woos
her,
she likes that. But sometimes she just wants Roy Klum. to get a hand round her gullet and say, this is what you're getting. And she's like, yeah, it is.
Does he say, you about to get clummed?
He says, I'm going to clum. Lord, forgive me, for I have clummed.
Oh, God. But, like, not even in a sexy way, just a really horrible, like, I'm going to clum.
Such a pathetic catchphrase.
Take that, Watertown. Watertown, Massachusetts. If you're the listener from Watertown, Massachusetts.
We've lost Watertown.
Like, if you are our one listener from Watertown, Massachusetts, I'd like to know, have you just like listened to whatever Laura Lex's episode 48 times? Or.
Yeah, please tweet us if you're from Watertown, Massachusetts.
And it turns out, plot twist, it's Roy Clum.
Oh, man.
I couldn't live without
him. Roy Clum
was the bit on the side. He was the hot one. Mm. Shapiro was the lawyer, well-to-do, like her husband. Very well-to-do, but she had this other bit of rough called Roy Clum. Now,
is that a terminology from where you're from? A bit of rough? Is that what you
Has
say?
Has no one heard bit of rough before?
Have you never heard that?
I've never heard that.
Masood, it's so funny. Like, on Friday, we found out Masood had never heard of Tim Henman.
Oh yeah. My God!
Yeah.
Number four tennis player
arguably
in the world, and
a name
like,
that's been
that's not when Masood shouted. Explained it though. That wasn't as weird because Masood didn't move to the UK until what, 2009? You said,
yeah,
I suppose
Tim
that would
Henman
have been
still played in the US Open.
Yeah, when but Henman Hill wasn't a thing anymore. You know, so
it still is actually, Carl. And
is it?
Right? Everyone,
is it
be
Murray
quiet.
Mount?
I'm going to talk about it for a while. No, he has said he has his Wimbledon championships, let me have my hill. And Andy Murray was like, I'm fine with that. And
no, it's not up to Andy Murray or Tim Henman. It's up to the people of Wimbledon.
I'm moved just talking about it. So,
did Henman genuinely say, please don't take my hill away from me?
He said it as a joke. He said, let him have his championships, let me have my hill.
You could say it's the hill he's going to die on.
If only the viewers could have seen that. Just that lovely little shuffle out of frame.
You know what? That was the classier was so version beautiful. Of I'm going to clum.
That's my...
Keep that in. That's staying in. So we've, as far as we know, that's a bit rough on the
side.
Hey,
Masood, this podcast is all about the interruptions.
Yeah, sorry, guys. That reminds me of 1992. Mrs. Johnson had just said we could go out for break time, and then it started raining, which reminds me of when Lee Clayton said we could all come around his house because he had every Mega Drive game, but he turned out to be a fucking liar.
Yeah, what did he have?
He had a lot of Mega Drive games, but I made the point that there were probably a lot more than this available. And Lee Clayton said, you're welcome to not play any of them. Anyway, I back down.
If you want more of this chat, you should join in on Masood's live streams on Twitch.
Oh, because
oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Masood sure. joins and goes, this reminds me of when I was at Lee Clayton's house.
Lee Clayton comes up
Lee
a
Clayton
lot on my chat stream.
Really catching my imagination. Nuts. Lee Clayton, who told everyone that his dad was working on development of Sonic 3.
Whoa.
He lied. He fucking lied.
If you're listening,
what's,
Lee,
what's your name?
You're full of shit.
What's your dad's name? OG Yakamoto. That is the name of
okay,
the Sonic 3.
Okay, I thought she'd picked a name.
Yeah. Masood, my yoga teacher, loves your live stream so much.
Oh,
Joe
that's
Leather.
Really lovely.
He's
great. I love Joe Leather. Joe is fantastic. He's welcome anytime.
Well, you've just put Masood in a very difficult position.
Because now I have to watch Joe's stream.
That's a yoga joke, isn't it?
That was one of the most subtle puns I've ever heard.
I realised as soon as I said it, it had laid a complete egg.
I don't know. I think it was subtle that it was like a little, it was like a little grenade that you rolled in. It had a 3-second delay before exploding.
Have I just invented the ninja pun?
So it doesn't kill you to 2 hours later.
You're in the laundrette and you go, hang on.
It was a pun.
Well, either this is my favourite record we've done in a while, or I'm just more drunk than usual. I don't know. Either or. Either way. Thank you for being here,
You're
Carl.
You're enjoying it.
Oh, God.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
So we've got.
So there's poor Fred Oesterreich, whose death had gone cold at this point. His widow Dolly Oesterreich was seeing Herman Shapiro, the lawyer, and she also had this bit on the side, Roy Klum, who he did this no questions asked because he was obsessed with Dolly. Dolly was a bit of an alluring woman, apparently.
I just heard beep.
That was my. That was a car driving past my.
Was it? It was so exciting. It was like.
That was the taxi for Chris. They just heard his pun. You just got it.
Oh, brilliant!
Oh yeah, position right.
Wait, what was her name? Man. Dolly Emmerich, because. Google has just, I've typed it in and Dolly and Google's gone, don't you mean Kelly Emery?
Dolly Oesterreich.
Well, I just want to see a picture of this woman who's hot.
I can attest she's not. She's
well,
not
I want to
that.
See her.
She's very.
Is she 20s hot?
What's the word? She's quite rectangular. She's like.
Like for a comedian. But for a, like, just an actor, gross.
No. I wouldn't say that. I'd say that Dolly is kind of like a table, in that she's very, very like rectangular, kind of like, you know.
You fucking.
She's sort of one shape.
You would. I haven't seen her.
Did I say no? I didn't say no. I didn't say I wouldn't do it.
No one said no to Dolly.
She's a strong, powerful woman who we don't know. She might have killed her husband. I'm into that.
She was apparently very, very. Very persuasive and very alluring. Apparently, she got all of these suitors, and so because of that, Roy Klum, he did this no questions asked. But she said to him, "This is after the thing." She said, "Listen, you know how my husband got shot by that burglar and they locked me in the closet? Well, I have a gun that looks exactly like the gun that was used, and I'm worried about getting into trouble. Jesus. Will you please get rid of it?"
Now, when did she say this? Was this just after that he'd clum, and she's like,
after
hey,
you
listen,
clum.
And so he got rid of the gun for her by throwing it into some tar pits.
On the tar pits? What, so there's like skeleton of saber-toothed tiger, and then the watch, the missing watch, and then the gun.
And then every mobster's body ever.
Yeah.
And then
all them.
And then this gun.
If seeing as we talk about it every episode in the film Casino, they bury them in the desert. Okay. But this was set elsewhere. They buried him in the tar pit.
I'm
so glad an episode didn't go by without us referencing Casino.
I feel strange that a tar pit. It just seems like something that I was worried about as a child that I would come across only to in my adulthood go, wow, that was a piece of my brain I should have reserved for something else.
Oh, like how when
why was I worried
when
about
we were when we were kids? We were always being told to keep away from corn silos. So like, okay, fine, no worries.
What was the reason for that? Would the people get murdered in corn silos?
Well, no.
What
if you're a kid, they look like a fun place to play. Apparently, I mean, they.
Oh, and if you fall,
you drown in corn.
Oh,
it recently
God,
came up in
go.
That film, A Quiet Place.
Yeah,
a kid falls in a corn silo. I mean, they're hiding from monsters. Sorry, this has all got a bit. Lee Clayton said, "Carry on."
So he throws the gun in the tar pit. He's just like, "Good riddance to bad garbage."
Yeah, so he gets rid of it for her. No questions asked because he's obsessed with her. And then Oh dear, she dumps him.
Oh my god, yeah. Dolly! Oh,
I'm in love with
but
this.
Listen,
yeah. what a great person.
Don't you worry. Don't you worry. As soon as she dumps him, what does he do?
Oh, good for him. Oh, I hate you, Dolly. Yeah.
And he says, So Dolly told me that she had a gun that was similar to the one that killed her husband, and could I get rid of it because she was worried she would get in trouble, and I threw it in the tar pits. So they went and they found the gun.
It was true.
Is it easy to take stuff out of the tar pits? It just seems
it does feel a bit strange.
Yeah, well, it's like they drained it like a fucking lake.
But listen, this is a true story, and I'm not going to counter it. But this is part of the account. They found the gun,
right?
But they couldn't tie it to the murder because it had corroded too much.
Yeah,
in the
tar
meantime.
Pits. Yeah. So you couldn't trace the ballistics.
Or even I think maybe even before they threw it. Before he threw it into the tar, it had...
Oh, okay.
Yeah, old guns sucked. Like, you shoot it, you're like, I better throw this away.
Yeah, they couldn't tie that to her or to the crime. Because she was tried, but there was no case to be brought against her because they couldn't tie the gun to her. But that being said, she was still put on trial. Yeah. And while she was waiting to be put on trial, she was... obviously still seeing Shapiro this point.
He's
and
a lawyer.
She got the lawyer. And she got Shapiro to go and do something which is insane. And when I tell you, you'll find out how the husband got killed.
Oh my god.
And how she managed to kill her husband. But because she was such a player, she had a secret lover that lived in her attic for 9 years.
Oh yes.
That her husband didn't know about.
Oh my god.
Oh my god.
Yes.
A secret lover in her attic. 9 years.
That secret lover. When she just like that bring secret up- lover moved house with them from
what?
Milwaukee to LA, and her husband had no idea.
Are we sure he had no idea, or was he like, Dolly, I love to see you with the attic man?
No, he had no idea. So her husband was really wealthy, but didn't satisfy her. And was always working long hours. And she
became a manslave in her attic for 9 years.
She had a sewing machine that broke. And she called her husband up and said, will you send around that attractive boy that works at the warehouse to come
That's
and fix
weird.
It? Which so at this point she was 33. This was 9013. All right,
oh
so
God.
9 years before the murder. 1913, she asked for this young boy to come round. He was 17, she was 33. He came round to fix it. She asked him to come round to seduce him. She seduced him. They started an affair.
Yeah.
They'd stay in hotels. But then after a while, that wasn't sustainable. So he kept coming around the house. And then people were seeing him coming and going, and she had to say, oh, that's my brother.
Who I'm fucking.
But she couldn't keep doing... yeah, well, eventually then people would be like, oh, well, why are you fucking my brother?
So
what they decided was that he would stay in the attic and live in the attic without the husband knowing.
Good. Well, and she'd like pay his way or whatever and feed him and stuff.
She had a secret knock to say, it's me. And then she'd give it... Because this attic was not just the loft. It was a secret portion of the attic. So, like, even if the husband ever went up in the loft, he'd never find
the room. Was there a separate sort of entrance into it or something? Yeah.
Well, you bet there was.
I don't know. I don't know about that. But what I do know is that he enjoyed it because it meant that he was living where she was and could just when the husband went out to work in the day, he could just come down. They could have sex all day. They made gin in the bathtub.
Oh, that's nice because it's like they weren't just banging.
What?
They had hobbies
and. Yeah. And he would write his stories that he'd want to get published.
Dolly!
Please tell me they got published. I want to read stories from
some
the
of them.
They
did.
All
some
just
of them,
like,
some of them
so
got
I'm
published.
Living
apparently.
In an attic.
If you want to know his name, but I can't believe I haven't said his name yet. His name was Otto Zanhuber.
Another made up name.
Otto Zanhuber.
Did no one at the sewing machine repair shop ask where Otto was?
Was he showing up for work?
It's been 9 years. Where the fuck is Otto, man?
God, he was so good at fixing those sewing machines.
And I'm including friends and family in that, not just at the shop as well. Like he's
I don't know whether he. I mean, like he must have just not been a bit of a loner, I suppose.
Maybe. Carl is married. Carl, are you going to be checking your attic tonight?
Haven't actually got an attic.
Ah, that's...
I'll check under the bed.
Under your bed. Check under your bed.
They anything, I'd say that's probably the best thing about not having an attic.
Your wife can't keep a secret love slave.
She can't keep her concubine up there.
Bonkubine. I really like the idea of, like... No,
hey, honey, maybe we should get an attic. I don't think so. We're not going to get an attic on my watch.
We're finally, Masood and Sarah, like, we're finally getting our first... big house. Oh, it's going to be wonderful. And the estate agent's like, well, obviously everything you see is perfect. You're like, this is the perfect home for us. As she goes, and these, this corridor leads to an attic. And Masood just turns on his heel and walks out.
Well, when they moved, from Milwaukee to LA,
yeah,
the house that he wanted to buy, yeah, she didn't want. And the reason for that was because it didn't have an attic.
Oh, shit.
And so she chose the house for them because it had an attic. And then she sent Otto to the house early before them. Without Fred knowing, they followed Otto to LA.
God.
He got into the house first.
I like the idea that she was like packing everything up and she put him in a box and she just had to write on the side of it in marker, boring stuff, so that Fred wouldn't check it. Just boring stuff.
Lady things.
I'm just going to move it. Oh, no, I'm not going
to
move this box.
You want me to move this for you, honey? No, no, I'll deal with that. Oh, Dolly.
So, now that we dipped back and I told you that he was in the attic, what she said to Shapiro while she was waiting trial... She just told Shapiro, I've got a lover in the attic. He's going to need food. Can you go and do the secret knock and give him some...
Oh, yeah.
She can't go and help
trial,
him.
So, right?
He's just going to sit in the attic and wait. Right, so...
So he wasn't even allowed out of the attic after her husband was dead?
What? No. That's the other thing.
That's just rude. Surely that's the main reason to kill the husband so he can come out of the attic.
Like, he's freaking living in the house. No, you stay up there.
The husband dies and she goes and sets up with Shapiro instead and Roy Klum.
Burned.
All the while, Otto is still living in the attic.
She was like, sorry, Otto, you're my number three.
Oh my god.
Dolly.
Dolly?
He's just up in the attic.
Dolly?
Oh my god, it's so good. This is amazing. This is better than the guy we did who built his own castle and jizzed up all the walls.
No, the guy that definitely built his own castle and supposedly jizzed up his walls. Let's not.
That was our detail. I remember now. All right, but still.
Yeah.
So she sends Shapiro, her current partner, and says, can you go and do the secret knock? Let him know
one
it's okay. And like give him some food.
Can you imagine when he opens the door and he's like, who the fuck are you?
Oh, did he? And he's like, I got you a sandwich. And he goes, oh, thank you. Ew, mayonnaise. Yeah.
He doesn't say anything, he just throws it in Shapiro's face. Like a child.
Dolly, I don't want to eat my damn vegetables. I mean, he's got the mental age of an 8-year-old, but he fucks like a champ. Oh, man. Chris, thank you for doing this mystery.
So he's...
It's amazing.
So, but Shapiro.
So
you're missing the obvious because she tells Shapiro this, and Shapiro just goes, "All right, like he's fine with this bloke in the attic."
No way. He just agrees
because they'll do anything for her. Apparently,
this is how alluring Dolly Oesterreich was.
They were into women with sturdy calves, I guess.
He goes round. He does the little knock. He does the little knock on the thing. Otto comes down. And Otto's like, oh my God, Otto hasn't spoken to a human male in years. At this point.
He's been living under lockdown. Oh my god. I'm having a third drink, fuck it.
Because he hasn't spoken to another man in so long. He just lets it all out and he says, I shot her husband and I locked the closet from the outside to give her an alibi, and he just lets it all out because he's so delighted to speak to another person.
Oh my god.
This is going to be me after lockdown. When I first hang out with someone who isn't my fucking mother, I'm going to be so excited. I'm going to tell them like all the terrible things I ate while I'm in lockdown. I ate tarragon straight out the jar.
But then, because Shapiro is still so in love with Oesterreich, Dolly Oesterreich, he doesn't do anything about that. He just boots Otto out on his arse.
Oh, God.
And Otto just has nowhere. Yeah. Sort of like, off you go. Get out. Oh.
Oh, no.
And then Shapiro keeps quiet about it until 7 years after that.
No.
7 fucking years.
So by now, we're in 1936, 14 years after the murder.
Oh my god. Hey, wait, where's Dolly at this point? She's free, she's
oh,
in
prison. Oh yeah, yeah, oh, yeah, oh, yeah, of course, she wasn't on trial, but they couldn't make, because the gun had deteriorated, yes. they couldn't
make
it
stick.
So
she was free.
So she went free. Okay. So we're 7 years after that, which is 14 years after the murder, 1936. Yeah. Dolly and Shapiro broke up.
Oh!
Which was a big mistake on Dolly's part, because what did Shapiro do? He went straight to the police.
Yeah, he had straight to the police. Confident as all hell, because like she drops some serious knowledge on these guys, and then she's like, fuck you. And then they're just like, well, then I'll just go to the police. And she's like,
oh my
god,
so
I still stan this fierce queen.
So
finally found a picture of her. I found a picture of her.
She's amazing.
She does look like a table.
Seuss thought Masood was misogynist for a little bit.
No, he's just an honest boy. She's got, do you know what though? Every photo, she has a face which is like, yeah, I'm the baddest bitch.
Have you seen the photographs with her surrounded by all the men?
Yeah, that's it, isn't it?
Yeah.
Every photograph is either her by herself or surrounded by men.
Oh, she must have had some hot red snapper going on.
I mean, to be fair.
She's astounding. Oh, she... Sorry, I'm sorry about that. I'm on my third drink. Normally I only have two. Normally I have two
brilliant
drinks and they're weaker than what I've been pouring. Oh, I love her.
So he goes to the police. He goes to the police, and then what happens?
Yeah.
Now there's the solution for the how she could locked in the closet.
The actual murder, yeah.
All of that. The alibi falls apart. And so there's a trial against both Otto, who pulled the trigger, and against Dolly as well, because
for a conspiracy.
There's no way of proving otherwise, but their joint story was that there was an argument between Fred and Dolly that got nasty, and that's what prompted Otto out of the attic to protect her, and then he shot him to stop Fred from like hurting her.
Yeah. I mean, as if
apparently the gun went off
Dolly
in a scuffle
harm.
Was their joint story. The gun went off in a scuffle was the joint story. So he didn't mean to shoot him; it just happened. And
it's
there's
like
no
Chicago,
way.
Chicago. They both reach for the gun.
And
the gun,
there's
the gun.
There's no way. There was no way of proving otherwise. So Otto was found guilty of manslaughter and not murder.
Okay. Well, do you know what? I'm all right with that.
Yeah. Yeah, but get this. Oh. It was 14 years later. The statute of limitations had run out, so he walked free. Dolly ended up being found It was a hung jury, so she walked free as well. She lived for another 25 years and died in 1961 at the age of 80.
Oh my God. Wow. She got to live through the 50s.
There is no justice.
Do you know what? She died just before the sexual revolution. Oh, and if someone had told her when she got to the gates of heaven, "You missed the sexual revolution, Dolly," she'd be like, "No, I didn't."
That was the sexual revolution.
That's what happened. No one went down for it.
Wait, hang on. Sorry. Who locked her in the cupboard?
Otto.
Yeah. Otto, as a cover.
Yeah, because this happened.
Sorry, I'm being slow and drunk.
Otto was like, they both realised, no one knows that you live here in the attic, so
yeah.
Why don't you lock me in the closet?
Yeah.
Of course. Okay, sorry, I'm being an idiot.
And then that's my alibi, and then you're just in the attic and no one will know.
Yeah.
When this all came out, and he was in 1936, and there was the eventual trial, he said that he was kept there as a sex slave, which she disputed.
Oh, wow.
I mean, do you know what? I shouldn't be such a sexist. If this was the other way round, imagine it's some guy who's married to a rich society woman and the society woman ends up dead and the guy's in the cupboard. And then it turns out that in the attic was a woman that he'd been getting to come down every time her husband went to work as a sex slave. And they made gin in the bath, etc. You wouldn't go, "Hey, this guy is a stone cold player." We'd be like, "This piece of shit." There's some weird ass balance of power going on here.
But also, because he was very young when they first got together,
he was the sewing machine boy.
He was 17. Yeah. It was like his.
Oh my God.
Shit. First guy out of college, and then he became a sex slave for 9 years. My degree is going to waste.
I studied psychology.
You're festering in this.
They didn't spend those 9 years just purely fucking. They were doing crafts together and they were making gin. And it was sort of like this idea that sometimes after a while they were like, "What do you think this needs? Slightly, I don't know. It needs something else." There was like a lovely relationship that was going on there for a bit.
They're adding junipers.
There must have
been
a plan.
But then, as Carl says, as soon as the husband's out of the way, he doesn't get to come out of the attic. She gets to have another boyfriend.
But if anything, that sort of leans towards the sex slave suggestion.
Yes. I mean, maybe it was really nice up there in my head.
It's good for my stories. I like to think my story's up here.
Yeah, maybe he thought it was really romantic.
No one really knows what happens to him, actually. He kind of falls out of... falls out of record, yeah.
He didn't go back to the sewing machine shop.
I'm sure his body will show up in some like attic somewhere down the line.
He loved it up there.
I just imagine like he comes back to the shop and everyone's like, "Otto."
He got stories published.
But not.
Why didn't he just release his attic memoirs?
I mean, exactly.
Like sexy Anne Frank.
Yeah, imagine having that. Imagine being a writer and having that story happen to you, and then thinking, "I just don't know what to write about." I can't really find any.
Imagine his Edinburgh show.
But this would be like the Tiger King of 1922. If it came like when 1936, can you imagine what? Because this story like was huge at the time.
Oh, I love it. It's. I mean,
what a tale.
We've had a giggle, it's hilarious, fantastic. Salacious. I bet there was a lot of misery. A lot of trauma and misery. This guy.
If you're interested, actually, you can look. If you Google the story, you can find the house that the Oesterreichs bought in LA, and you can see the amount of space that Otto had in that house. And that's the house the murder happened.
Oh, God, it's a lovely big house. Like, if it was London, he'd be paying a fortune to rent that attic space.
And it overlooks Sunset Boulevard, apparently.
Oh, my God.
Which maybe means that Otto had the view.
This is no place for a dame.
Nah, he had no windows.
Oh, it's a lovely house.
I love a story like this. This is one of my favourite type of episodes.
Do you know what I was about to say? A victimless crime. It wasn't a victimless crime. There was a dead guy.
Absolutely. No, it's actually one of them classic victim crimes.
I don't know why my brain said that. I think maybe I'm a terrible person.
I think it's because the whole thing of this story is that you don't really dwell on Fred at all.
No.
Like the whole thing is about the story between Dolly and all of her other lovers. Like Fred. Poor Fred. Poor Fred. He was already being
He wanted to do was marry a woman who made him crazy in the membrane.
And he was really successful. Like he this was aprons. He made his fortune from fucking aprons.
Yeah.
You know, it's like
would you like me to sum this up in the form of a song?
Yes, please.
Here is the song. Hear a difference in sound quality, everybody, it's just because it's something that happened and not because we recorded the song separately.
Sexy, sexy Dolly had so many lovers, and one of them just had to go. She kept one in the loft, that affair was undercover, and she was doing it with that guy Shapiro. Dolly was alluring, a badass lady. She liked to make gin in the bath, keeping a concubine boy in the attic. Yeah, it looks a little shady, but they were only having a laugh for many years. Why did Otto and Dolly decide to kill Fred? What had he even done? They'd had too much bathtub gin, so he ended up dead. That's right, it was a drinking game gone wrong. Ooh, sexy Dolly, all's well that ends well, except for Fred, who did die.
Yay!
Thank you, everyone. Yay. Wow, that Carl, I bet fantastic. You didn't know I could write a whole song about that.
what a song.
thank you. In the song,
all the notes
in the
were
song.
In the...
I'm amazed that you wrote that song while you were this pissed.
Yeah, no, it's amazing. It's what's really weird is I've just realised I didn't even take any notes. So
you
when the
don't
song,
have, yeah, you weren't needed to.
No, to be honest, I think I know what I'm going to do in this song that I just did. Carl, have you got anything to plug?
Not really. I do a couple of podcasts myself. And Julian Dean do a fun one just called Two Vegan Idiots, where we just talk nonsense, and he normally just says a few things that will get us cancelled at some point.
You know, I didn't know that Julian was vegan as well until you started that podcast.
Yeah, he doesn't really talk about it. He's odd. He's like, I don't think he really knows why he is vegan. It doesn't really make any sense, but like, you know,
was it because he wanted to do a podcast with you?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, we've been doing the podcast for about 18 months, and he could just be lying to me the whole time.
Well, I mean, I want to hear Carl's podcast. What's it called? Two Vegan Idiots.
Brilliant. Yeah, and we don't talk about, we mention veganism like once every 7 episodes, so it's not about anything.
Well, it's in the title, vegan, isn't it? You don't need to.
Yeah.
That really puts enough people off that we don't talk about much when we're actually doing it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, thank you. We have a Twitter account called Mystery on the Rocks ROX. You can also go on our YouTube channel, Mystery on the Rocks CKS. Just look us up. We are recording episodes where it's just us, and we video them and everything, and we put on nice clothes and everything for those. Not like this, sorry Carl. We look like scum of the earth on this one. We're also on Instagram and Facebook and
all the stuff. You want to email us, mysteryoftherocks@gmail.com. Like and subscribe to the show, you know, if you want to send us a parcel. I don't know. Don't do that, actually. Don't do that. Don't send parcels. No, maybe do. I don't know.
Thank you, everybody, for listening.
Wait,
you're on Twitch.
Twitch.tv/Suze Kempner. You can see me and you can see Masood. Twitch.tv/Masood Milas. My yoga teacher said it's the most fun he's had in a while was joining in on Masood's stream, which I think says more about my yoga teacher than Masood, but it is nevertheless a good evening.
Where can we find you on Twitter, Carl?
It's Carl Donnelly. I got in early enough to get my full name.
Well done.
Lovely.
Well,
thanks for having
me. See you next week. Thank you, everybody. Bye, 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 bye.
Catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.